Welcome to Baraka Church, as Pastor Jonathan Smith begins the new series, God With Us. As children, we are often plagued with nightmares of the boogeyman or of losing those we love most. It's interesting to note that we fear having to face many things in life alone, even as adults. Today, we address life at the worst of times and what God does when you are in the valley.
Today, we're launching into a brand new message series called God With Us. And the entire month, we are going to be looking at the presence of God in our lives. And what I want to do in this series is to look at a kind of an anchor scripture, an anchor verse for those of us who are followers of Jesus. We're going to look at the power of the theological term, a big Bible word, the word incarnation, which simply just means that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And at Christmas, we're going to have four services at Baraka Church to be able to safely make room for us to invite others. Two services on December 23rd and two services on December 24th. All four of them will be identical, but we want you to be able to invite people. They say that the Christmas time is the time of year where those who are not connected to a church are most willing to come. And you can go to our website and begin reserving seats at any time throughout the month for any of those services. And during those services, I'm going to talk in a way that people can understand what it means that the Word became flesh, that God is among us. And so today, as we launch into this message series about the presence of God, I want to start with the verse that will start us every single week this month. Our Christmas services will deal with this verse in great detail, but it's found in Matthew's gospel. And this is what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, let's say it out loud together, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The title of this message series is God With Us. And for those of you who are followers of Jesus, it's easy to believe that God is with us when things are good. When you're on the mountaintop, it's easy to believe that God is with us. Whenever you get really good news, it's easy to believe that God is with us. When you get a raise at work, I mean, everybody's excited, and it's easy to believe that God is with us. When your baby sleeps through the night for the very first time, everybody says, praise God, and it's easy to believe that God is with us. When you are healthy and no one in your circle or that you know has COVID, it's easy to say that God's with us. When you get the parking spot at the mall and it's really, really close, like the sale parking spot, God is so good, he gave me this really close spot. It's easy to sense the presence of God when things are going well and when you're on the mountaintop. But let's be honest, it's sometimes more difficult to sense his presence when you are in the valley, when things aren't going the way you would want them to, when you get bad news, when you're hurting, maybe when you feel all alone, maybe when those around you are sick or not doing so well, when you're worried or when you're afraid, or when you're battling depression. I want to talk today about God in the valleys. And what's interesting to me is so often much of our life can be going really, really well. In other words, you've got all these different pockets of your life, and you're kind of on a mountaintop. And then there's this one little area that just weighs everything else down. Like a lot of things may be going well, but there's this one area or two areas that, man, if those things could be eliminated, everything would be great. But those things just kind of lay a heaviness on you. So much is good. But this one thing just really, really brings a serious weight to your life. This is kind of what happened to us over Thanksgiving just a little over a week ago. Our family was together. The house was perfect. Denise just knocked herself out. Everything was beautiful. Our kids were home. Family's there. Those we love are together. It was such a wonderful, special moment like holidays are supposed to be. And yet there was a heaviness because our world has been turned upside down this year. Loved ones that would normally be there couldn't be there this year. Not any given 30 minutes could go by without a reference to the pandemic or something that is happening around us. And on top of all that, one of our family members who we hadn't seen for over a year just found out days before Thanksgiving that their cancer had returned. And so here we are, a special time, family together, a sense of normalcy in a very abnormal year, the special moments you anticipate, times like this. And then there's the valley, the tragedy that comes in and just kind of steals everything that you've been hoping for. And unfortunately, some of you are there right now. Some seasons and pockets of your life are really, really good. I mean, you could look at parts of your life and things are going well. Maybe for you, your marriage is blessed, but you've got a kid making crazy and stupid decisions, and that hurts so much. Or you're really, really close to God, and you sense God's presence like maybe never before, but at the same time, you're afraid your job is going to shut down. Or you're really, really excited about Christmas coming up or New Year's, getting together with family, and yet you're not even sure what that is even going to look like this year because everything's different. There's so many good things, and yet you're not sure. And yet there may be one or two things that just kind of take you down into the valley. So what I want to talk about today is, where is God in those valleys? In those areas that are so difficult and so hard, where is God at in those valleys? It's interesting because all throughout Scripture, valleys represent several things. You see, in the valleys, there are often battles that took place. Often, as you're reading through the Old Testament specifically, you would find where they two nations or two armies would meet in the valley to battle it out. And some of you right now, you may be in a battle in the middle of a valley. Valleys were seasons of desperation. Valleys were seasons of loneliness. But it's noteworthy that valleys were also a time of incredible growth. It's interesting that you may enjoy God in some ways on the mountain, but you experience him in different ways when you're in the valley. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes today, I would say it this way, and this is the one thought I have for us today. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. We may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. We may know him and enjoy him when times are really, really good in our life, but we get to know him in a completely different way when we're in the valleys. I want to look at a passage from the Old Testament in Psalm 84. And if you've ever read through Psalm 84, chances are really good that you read right past these three verses. I want to look at them and hopefully bring some insight that will impact your spiritual life in a very real way today. Psalm 84, we'll start in verse number 5. And we're going to see where God is in the valleys. This is what the psalmist wrote. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. In other words, blessed are those who find their strength in God, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now we could read that, and if we're reading through that on our own, we'd be like, okay, so what does that mean? Because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And the truth is, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense until we understand the background behind it. The Valley of Baca. What is the Valley of Baca? The Valley of Baca was related to a tree. Very similar spelling. And this tree would ooze out sap all the time, from all parts of it, it'd be oozing out this sap. If you walk by this tree, people said the tree was called a weeper. It looked like the tree was continually crying. And that's why the Valley of Baca is translated in different ways throughout Scripture. It's called the Valley of Tears. It's called the Valley of Weeping. It's called the Valley of Loss. Now, anytime you come across a valley in the Bible, you would see a place that was very, very dangerous. Oftentimes, it was in the valley where they had the thorns and the thistles, there would be wild animals, probably vicious cats. There would be people waiting to jump you and rob you. You didn't want to go through the valley because it was very difficult to get through a valley without something bad happening to you. Very difficult to get through the valley. And this is why the psalm says this in verse 5. He says, blessed are those who find their strength in God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Now, I know that some of you are maybe not followers of Jesus. And whether you're listening online or you're here in person, we are glad that you are here. If you don't know God intimately, then chances are there are times when you say, I've had enough. Like, I can't do it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I just don't have enough in me. And the truth is, if you don't know God intimately, then what you have is all you have. And what you have is all you have. But for those who are in Christ, those who are Jesus followers, we believe that we have a strength that goes beyond just what we have. That we have access to a heavenly strength. And that's why the psalm has said, blessed are those whose strength is found in you. We believe that when we get to the end of our strength, that there's a heavenly strength. There's a divine strength. There's a strength from our God that is available to those who know him. I believe it because I've seen it time and time and time and time again, not just in my life or my family's life, but also in the lives of others. Those lives within our church, I've seen it time and time again when humanly possible, they shouldn't be able to have any strength left, and yet they continue to have strength. That's a heavenly strength. Let me illustrate it this way to maybe help make sense of this. I know some of you are going to find my next statement really difficult to believe, but it has been a long time since I did any weightlifting. I know that's hard to believe. I know, mind-blowing for some of you, as toned up as I am and all that. I mean, I know that. But back in the day, I did. And there were days where our lifting instructor in high school would decide that we were going to burn it out at the end of the workout with ridiculously light weights, but with a lot of reps. And so we would start out by doing some heavy lifting, and then we'd work our way down, taking off weights as we went along the way until at the end we had nothing else but just the bar. The goal was at the end of this already exhaustive workout to do as many reps as possible with just the bar. And if you were walking into the room that we were lifting in and had no idea what had been going on previous to that or why we were doing it, it became quite embarrassing for those of us who were just lifting the bar and struggling with it. I mean, like when the cheerleaders would walk in and laugh and say, I can do that, I can lift the bar, and they would make fun because we were struggling with the bar, it was really embarrassing. It's pretty easy at the beginning. And then the lactic acid sets in and it's really difficult. Your chest is on fire and everything in you wants to quit. And I can remember doing that. And I can remember lifting the bar and my friend Steve was cheering me on. I mean, it looks ridiculous. As I'm lifting just the bar and he's yelling, come on, there's more in you. And I'm sitting there just doing the bar. And he's like yelling, come on, man, come on, push it. Come on, you can get it up. And he would continue to yell and he begins to spot me with just the bar. There was no weights on it, just the bar. And he would begin to spot me. And I'm thinking, how embarrassing is this as people walk by? He's helping me just get the bar lifted back up, and he would yell, come on, Smith. And then he would start to say, you got it, you got it, you got it, while he's helping me lift it up. And then he would say something like, it's all you, come on, come on, it's all you. And then at some point, it didn't matter how much someone was trying to motivate me or who was yelling around me, you just kind of give up, there's nothing left, and I would just kind of let go of my strength while still holding on to the bar. But Steve didn't realize I had let go of the bar, and he's still cheering me on, and he's saying, it's all you, keep going, it's all you. When it had nothing to do with me, I had given up and let go. But at the end of my strength, my friend Steve had taken over. And the good news is for those of you who are in Christ, who are Jesus followers, there is a power much bigger than Steve. It's our God who, when you hit the end of your strength, his strength is made perfect in your weakness. His strength, scripture said, is made absolutely perfect. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. If you're in the middle of a valley right now, you have access to the very real, ever-present power of a good God who is available and ready to come and assist you in your time of need. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. Notice the text doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. It doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by the bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are really determined. One of the big problems in our society today is we almost idolize a spirit of independence. Like, I don't want to need anybody. I don't need anybody. I want to be financially independent. I want to be completely good on my own. I don't want to trust people. As a matter of fact, I trust no one. I don't want people to be there for me. I don't need any help from anyone. I don't need God. I don't need anybody in my life. We were not created to be independent. We were created by our God to depend on him and to be in relationship with others, to depend on others. Blessed are you when you realize you are dependent and you have a power greater than yourself. And some of you need to lean into that today. You need to just admit it. I don't have what it takes. I need his presence. Blessed are those whose strength is found in God. I want to show you verse 5 in a different translation because I love the way the New Living Translation highlights this verse. It says this. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I love that. We're on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You say, what does that mean? We may be in the valley, but we're going to what was known as the city of refuge. Jerusalem was known as the city of refuge, or we're going to the place that was also called the place of peace. One commentary says this, to get to the city of refuge, you had to travel through the valley of tears. Think about that imagery for a minute. In order to get to the city of refuge, in order to get to the place of peace, you had to travel through the valley of tears. Sometimes to get where you are, you really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you have to push through a little bit of pain to get to the presence and the goodness of God. I have it in my notes this way, for so many, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. We push through the valley. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. This is the way the psalmist said it. Let me show you the first part of that again. He said, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds. Now, I want you to get that. So I want everybody to say, my mind is set. Let's say it together. My mind is set. Blessed are those who have their minds set towards God. What you think about matters so much. What you think about matters. We've talked a lot about that this year. What you think about matters. The Apostle Paul talked about this a whole lot in the New Testament. To the Colossian believers, he said this. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things below. In other words, with everything going on and the chaos and the fear and everything that's happening, set your mind on things above, not everything that's going on around us. Paul told the Philippian believers this. He said, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or admirable or lovely, think about such things. Where you are is one thing. What you think about is something else. What you think about matters. Don't say, like, I can't sleep. Say, I have the peace of God. He is with me right now. Say, your mind is at rest. Don't say, we're not going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do it. Say Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. Don't say I'm scared and afraid. Say Psalm 56 verses 3 and 4, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh, what can COVID, what can cancer, what can anything that comes up against me do to me? Don't say I can't make it through the valley. Say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Don't say I'm alone. Say God will never leave me or forsake me. Don't say I'm unworthy. Say I'm a child of God Almighty. What you think about matters. What you think about matters. Listen, somebody, you need to hear this right now. Your current situation may be in the valley, but your mind can still be set upon God. Your heart may be racing, but your mind is set. Your soul may be aching, but your mind is set. Your emotions may be all over the place, but your mind is fixed towards God. And there may be too much to do, and there may be pressure with the in-laws. And you may be wondering how you're going to pay for Christmas and on and on and on and all the pressures that come at this time of the year. There may be real tragedies in the valley, but my mind is set on the goodness of God. He is with me. He is for me. Greater is the one who is in me than he who is in the world. My God is going before me to prepare a way for me. His Spirit gives me strength when I'm weak. I need him every moment of every day. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. When I cannot make it, his power is very, very real. I may be in the valley, but my mind is set on the kingdom of God. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. I'm going to the place of peace. And you may be in the valley, but your mind is fixed. Verse 6 says this, I love this phrase back in Psalm 84, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Notice as they go through the valley of Baca. In other words, we may be in the valley right now, but the valley is not our destination. That's not our permanent location. What are we doing? I'm just passing through. I may be in the valley right now, but this is not my home. I'm journeying to the place of peace. I'm just passing through. Amen. My God will get me through this. I'm just passing through. David said something similar in a passage of scripture that if you've been to church at any time along, you've heard this. As a matter of fact, probably if you don't normally go to church, you've probably heard this at funerals. Psalm 23, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I may be in the valley, but I'm just passing through. I may be in a difficult time, but God's going to get me through it. I may be hurting right now, but I'm not going to be hurting forever. My God is going to pull me through. I may be in a dark place right now, but we're just passing through the valley of Baca. Sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you just want out. Like, God, get me out. God, make it go away. God, make it stop. God, I don't want it anymore. God, just take it away. I just want out. And what you have to realize is so often God may show you that the way through the valley. He may show you the way through the valley, not the way out of the valley. The road to the path of peace is often through the valley. We're just passing through. I'm just passing through. And I love this next phrase in verse 6. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They make it a place of springs. In other words, they make it a well. If you're in a dry place, if you're in a desert, if you're in an area that has a drought, what do? You dig a well. You make a well in order to bring up the moisture. You bring a well, you dig holes so that when it rains, it fills those holes. You make a little hole as a container for the provision of rain that God will send. God, I haven't seen it yet, God, it's dry right now. But when you're dry and when you're hurting, you make room for the presence of God. You make room for the provision of God. You make a well, but it hasn't rained yet. But I know my God will provide what I need. So I make a container preparing for the presence and the provision of God. You make a well. It's almost as if God would say something like this: you show me your faith, and I'll show you my faithfulness. Like you prepare the well. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faithfulness. If you dig it, I will fill it. If you prepare for me, I will show up in your life. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faithfulness. Jesus apparently had this kind of philosophy. In the New Testament, there's a guy with a withered up hand. Instead of Jesus saying, I'm just going to heal you, Jesus said, no, you stretch out your withered hand and I will heal it. You show me that you believe I can do it and I'll do it. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about a man who couldn't walk for 38 years. Couldn't walk for 38 years by the pool. Jesus didn't just say, Jesus' power, you're healed. Instead, he said, you take up your mat. Like, you need to rise. You need to get up. On the legs that he couldn't use for 38 years, you get up. You show me you believe that I can make you walk. And if you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. I don't know who this will speak to, but someone you need to hear this. If you dig it, he will fill it. If you plant it, he will grow it. If you plant your seed before you, you have to plant your seed before you see the harvest. If you pray it, God will hear your prayer. If you dig it, if you prepare, your God will reveal himself. When you're in the dry place, you make a well. You prepare for the presence and the provision of God. If you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. I love the promises all throughout Scripture. I mean, there's too many to list today. We don't have time. I mean, it'd take us hours to list them all. But promises like, if you draw near to me, God says, I will draw near to you. Like, you're as close to God as you want to be. If you draw near to me, God says, I'll draw near to you. You show me that you believe, and I'll show you my presence. If you seek me, God says, you will find me. If you make room for me, I will reveal myself to you. There may be somebody listening, and you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long, long time. I would encourage you, it's time to make a well. It's time to dig a ditch. It's time to say, I'm going to stop and wait for your presence. I'm going to prepare for your provision and for your presence in my life, because if you dig it, he will fill it. Think about this. Think about this for a minute. Some of you, you really need an encounter with God. You know, God rarely reveals himself to people who are rushed. I mean, let that sink into somebody today. He rarely reveals himself to people who are rushed. Imagine those of you who know the story of Moses in the Old Testament. He's in the desert. There's this burning bush. Imagine Moses driving by 75 miles an hour by the burning bush. He sees it. He drives by it. He takes a picture of it. This is an Instagram story. I'm going to go ahead and post this. By the time he's got the picture, it's already back there because he's flying by it. That the bush is burning. I mean, nobody's quite seen that, like that it was burning before. But that's not what God said. God says, hey, why don't you stay a while? Why don't you take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground? Why don't you for a moment be still? Be still and know that I am God. Why don't you make a well and then wait on me to fill it? And I'm telling you, our lives are so rushed and so busy, especially you get to December and with everything going on and with the holidays coming. I mean, we rush and rush and rush. And maybe what God's saying to you today is you need to be still and wait on my presence, because if you dig it, I will fill it. If you seek me, you will find me. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Be still and know that I'm God. Some of you, it's just time to prepare and say, God, I want to meet with you. I'm going to wait for you. And I'm going to believe that you're going to reveal yourself to me because I need you right now to make a well, prepare for his presence. And if you draw near to him, he promises he will draw near to you. God, I need your presence. We enjoy him so much on the mountain. Don't we? When things are going well, it's easy to say, God is so good. We get the new car, God is so good. Well, we get the raise, God is so good. We enjoy him so much on the mountains. But we get to know him intimately in the valleys. And here's what I hope you'll understand. God never ever promised that you would never go through the valley. He promised you, you would never have to go through the valley alone. That's the promise. God with us. And the virgin will be with child, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love the way the psalmist phrases this portion of scripture. He says this, verse 6, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Then he says, verse 7, they go from strength to strength. I love that phrase. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. We just read two verses earlier where he said, blessed are those who experience the strength of God. Blessed are those whose strength is found in you. So like when I'm at my end and I have to rely on God's strength, and then all of a sudden, like, I get a little bit of strength and I go from that strength to the next strength, and he continues to give me strength and build me up and help me get through what I'm going through. They go from a little bit of strength to a little more strength, to even more of God's strength, to even more of his strength, and then a little more of his strength until, verse 7, each one appears before God in Zion. They will go from strength to strength, from strength to strength, not our strength, but his strength. Denise and I have seen it over and over and over again. Again, not just in our lives, but in lives of others that we've known over the last 27 years. And we praise him on the mountaintop. But here's what I want you to understand. We also praise him in the valley. We praise him in the good times, and we praise him in the not so good times, because we may enjoy him on the mountains, but listen to me, we get to know him in the valley. He reveals his character to us in the valley. We understand that when we are broken down, our bodies are fighting a disease, that it's during those times we realize he is the great physician. We know his character. We learn his character. We find out in the valley that he's a loving God. He reveals his character to us. We can sense his strength in a way that we can't otherwise. When we totally and completely need him and we have nothing else, and we know that when we're traveling through the valley, we're just passing through. He is a good God even in the valley. And we're just passing through. We're going to a place of peace. So right now, you may feel weak. Right now, you feel a little defeated. Right now, you're having a hard go of it. Who is God in the valley? Who is God in the middle of your weakness? My God is our strength. When you're in the darkness, who is God? Our God is your light in the darkness. When you're in the season of trouble, who is our God? He's the joy in your trouble. When you're in the middle of pain, who is our God? He is your comforter in the middle of your pain. And that's who our God is. We're just passing through the valley. Even though we're in the valley, we don't fear. Why? Because he is with us. The same God that is good on the mountaintops is good in the valley. We get to know him in the valley. If you're in the valley right now, just keep in mind, you're just passing through. You won't be there forever. Our God will lead you out. He is good. He is with you. He is present. And he will take you from strength to strength. And on those days where you feel like you don't have anything else to give, you can't go on one more minute, he will give you strength to go on again. And when you deplete that, he'll give you strength to go on again. When you can't handle anymore, you lean into him and let his strength be everything you need it to be. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, O God, are with us. Who are you? You are Emmanuel, God with us.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.